Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. This is the Atlanta Hawks Draft Show. Glad for everybody to be able to maybe tune in live or watch it later as it's late in the evening. 646-652-4479 is the number if you'd like to call in if you're listening on the Blog Talk Radio page. That being said, let me go ahead and get a little bit of an intro in. So again, welcome to everybody. I'm glad that I was able to get in tonight. A lot of stuff has been going on. Haven't been regular around the ATL lately, so I do appreciate those who have been, you know, sticking with us for the last few years as far as the show goes. So again, if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, definitely call in and help us out a little bit. I'm not sure if my co-host Jordan Jackson is going to make it tonight. I'm battling a very, very bad sore throat. I've been working all day. Was on the phone and I just did not want to cancel. So hopefully you join in. Before I go further, recently I personally had a death in my family recently. My aunt actually passed away on Friday, very suddenly. Of course, it's unexpected. It's been a very difficult time. As for my grandmother, it's her third child that she's lost in the last 10 years, and one of those was also my father. So it's been a very tough few days during this past weekend, I should say. But like I said, I already had scheduled the show, and I said I want to do the show no matter what and see if we can come up with something good. So, again, if you can help us out, call into the show, 646-652-4479. You can also hit the chat room up as well. So tonight's show is brought to you by a few companies tonight, Price Design Club, as you see scrolling on the screen there. The first and the most recent logo of Around the ATL was created by the owner, Jamal Price. As well as some other projects I've had over the years. So if you have a business and you want it to be noticed, make sure you contact him on Instagram, Price Design Club, and let him know that Around the ATL sent you. Let's see, who else? Phoenix City Aesthetics on Instagram. I actually just recently had the owner, Majida Giddens, on my show, Women in Business. She's actually located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So if you're in Tennessee in that area, you need to relax, you need to put your personal care as a priority, make sure you visit, make sure you let her know Around the ATL sent you as well. Last but not least, my stuff. IMTN Worldwide Images 1 on Instagram. You know somebody on the planet Earth that needs some pictures right now, you know they done got themselves summertime fine, but they can't prove it to nobody unless they have pictures, you need to hit me up. I can travel anywhere in the United States, just gotta let me know. My rates are very affordable. You can also go to the website, imtmworldwideimages.com, and check out that site there as well. Now, that's all the fun stuff. let's see if we can get to the sports now, right? So, and I just had a blank. There we go. Tonight we're going to talk about the draft. Now, we can talk about free agency. Again, it's all about the callers, but I want to try to keep free agency over to free agency. So tonight I want to try to talk about the draft as much as humanly possible, okay? So just want to throw that out there for everybody who might call in. Again, 646-652-4479 is the number. I'm glad I remember my own number to my own show. We know we have like 17 rumors every 17 seconds in the NBA right now. Everybody's moving around, all the recent trades and things of that nature. We can talk about that too a little bit. Here are some of the things I do want to discuss. So the NBA season is officially over. The Atlanta Hawks have a very important offseason ahead, obviously. The draft is right around the corner now. Will the Hawks go after depth? Are they looking for a possible starter? With free agency around the corner after that, you know, a new head coach, which direction will they go? So we do have a lot of questions that have to be asked and answered over the next couple of weeks, right? We're going to discuss prospects that the Hawks will most likely have a chance to draft and maybe some choices we'd love to have and more. I got video, by the way. We will also talk about pending free agency a little bit, but not a lot if we can help it. Needs and wants. We're going to talk about the current roster, obviously. We will do that tonight, okay? The Hawks have a huge step to make for 2023, though. So who do you want the Hawks to draft? Are you excited about 2023? Again, tune in, watch. You can listen. Call into the show, 646-652-4479. You can comment using the messenger if you're on the IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube page, which make sure you subscribe. Please help us out. I know we weren't doing a lot of YouTube back in the day when we first started. Everything was purely radio. You were listening on iHeartRadio or Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple Podcasts or wherever you were listening. But since we did decide to start streaming, help us out a little bit. Just support, share the show every now and again. That'll help us out a lot. Now, some of the things that we're going to review. How will free agency potentially affect the draft? Okay. If no moves on the roster at all were made, could the Hawks compete with a whole new staff on the coaching side? Offensive philosophy is going to be different. Concentration on defense. Boston series kind of says maybe, you never know, with a few tweaks here and there, right? Lineup, rotations, you know. Could that get them out of the play-in and into the top five or higher, though, right? So that's something else that we're going to discuss. I see a few people watching, so I appreciate that. Let me check and make sure we don't have any callers yet, not just yet. I know there's some people around the country that are listening in from a couple of different cities and time zones. So I do appreciate y'all's time, you know, kind of helping me out and joining me. So like I said, how will potential free agency affect the draft? If no moves are made, could the team compete? Again, the Boston series says maybe. We know what happened in that series. Probably should have won it, actually, right? Again, we're going to talk about the current roster, and that's actually what we're going to talk about right now this second. So some people don't know who's on the roster still. There's a lot, actually. Of course, you got Mr. Trae Young. You got Murray. You have Hunter, John, Clint, Big O's on the team, JJ, AJ, Bogey, Sadiq Bey, Aaron Holiday, Tyrese Martin, who, by the way, with the Skyhawks, averaged 18-8. Just throw that out there just randomly. Bruno, Garrison Matthews, Vit, Trent Forrest, and Donovan Williams. Now, that's a lot of people. Now, we know that the NBA had kind of maneuvered and kind of made it to where you can have a few more people on your roster or whatever as far as sitting and playing and things of that nature. So that's why we have a few more people than probably usual on the roster. But at the end of the day, who may or may not be there on the roster, just who might. Just see, how can I phrase this? Who do you think are borderline as far as even being able to stay from right now to the beginning of the next season? I throw out my own list right now real quick. Holiday, probably not. Yes, I know he had a career year from three, but as a point guard, you still need someone to be able to run the offense. And one thing I do want to kind of mention in regards to that, you know, I think I had a note about it somewhere. A backup point guard. One, yes, I know we were staggering Trae and Murray. You know, Trey's on the bench, Murray is in the game. Murray's on the bench, Trae is in the game. But did that really work? okay? And, you know, part of that was, you know, we didn't really have an offense. You know, everybody's standing, you know, if anybody's watched around the ATL over the last couple of months, you know me. You got three people standing behind the three-point line. You got Clint standing under the basket, and then you got Trey at the top of the key, and that was supposed to be the offense. Nobody's cut, nobody's moving, nobody's doing nothing, just standing around. So if that was to change, yeah, let's maybe keep going with the staggered, maybe. But what about injuries? If Trey is hurt and Murray's the point, Murray comes off the court, who's coming in? Right? And the same thing vice versa. If Murray's hurt, Trey has to go on the bench, who's coming in? Eventually, you've got to get an actual backup point guard at a certain point. It just has to happen. Also, on the defensive side, as far as the backup point, you know, you need that other – the Hawks scored 118 points a game. They gave up 118 points a game. You know what our record was? There you go. So at a certain point, we have to stop somebody. Now, part of that is, again, personal, player. Inside of you, you got to have some pride and stop somebody. And the other part of it is the coaching staff directing and teaching and reteaching and demanding and penalizing, right? But at the point guard position, on the backup side of the ball, we need to be able to have it to where we can negate getting really all of our positions, negate getting beat off the dribble, giving up layups. We were a layup line. Our numbers showed it. Points in the paint showed it. Second chance points showed it, right? We need to be able to negate screens. We need to be able to rotate crisply, you know, pick and rolls, rotate them from one end of the floor to the other. That's just on the point guard side. As far as a small four, we need depth, right? Right now, currently, we have Hunter and Bay on the technical side. I guess you could throw maybe AJ in there if you had to or wanted to. We need some depth on the defensive side of the ball. Y'all know how I feel. We need a small forward that, at the end of the day, has to be responsible for stopping somebody. It has to be, and it has to be natural, okay? Yes, again, coaching can get the players in line. But, again, you still have to have some kind of pride and say, I'm not going to let this guy drop 40 on our team, right? And right now, the primary wing that is supposed to be doing that hasn't really shown that that's possible up till now. It's been 4 years, right? And the numbers show it, you know, not in the top 15 in any defensive category. You know, that's a big deal. When he was drafted as National Player, Defensive Player of the Year, won a national championship primarily as a defensive player. And it just really hasn't translated out. I mean, getting beat out on the block a lot of times, you know, not blocking out, not knowing where your man is, and or just letting Brogdon just lay the ball up in that Boston series a whole bunch of times, and everybody, Tatum, didn't matter who it was, Brown, right? We had to be able to fight through screens as a small forward. That's a priority, right? Blocking shots, getting steals. Those things, they come into play. They really do. I haven't seen anybody post a comment, just checking real quick. I'm just going over some positions right now. Now, center. Oh, by the way, AJ has shown some signs that he could do that, especially on steals. He's a great on-ball defender, and with more minutes, I think he can, you know, do even more. Now, the center position, we need depth. Again, if Bruno doesn't happen to be here anymore, you need a center that plays post defense. You have to get somebody who can come up on the perimeter. If there is a screen set, you're not just going to sit down here. You're going to come up. Somebody else has to take the responsibility of picking up man. On my Sunday night basketball video the other night, I talked about some of the fundamentals, and I had to come up on somebody. Otherwise, he's going to have a wide open jumper. I had to trust that somebody is going to pick up my man. So that way they don't just pass the ball to him and have a layup, because I can't play two people, right? We got to be able to have a center to be able to want to come up, but we also have to have the defense acumen to make up for that lost player right there, right? But anyway, that's a whole other story. Somebody who can block shots, change shots. We need somebody who can get 2, 3, 4 blocks a game, or at least 5 or 6 almost blocks a game, which usually means you're going to get 2 or 3 blocks a game. Okay, my throat's going right there. So we need center who'll be able to do that. Again, I don't know what we're going to do with Bruno yet. We'll see. And so with that being said, I'm going to stop right here. That's why I said between Holiday, Trent, Bruno, Donovan, on the bubble is Garrison Matthews. Not really sure what they're going to do with him yet. That's like five players right there. One, two, three, four, five. Five players that probably won't make the roster because I think there will be options to replace that group of players to accentuate the team that we do have left after that to make us better, whether it be free agents, whether it be draft, whatever, okay? Now, that being said, let me get on the offensive side of the ball a little bit, okay? Now, let me make sure I can find – there we are. So on the offensive side, as far as a possible backup point guard, got to be able to not just hit a jumper, but be able to drive, kick, right, to an open player, or be able to finish, or be able to draw a foul, okay? We really didn't shoot a lot of free throws this year as a team, did we? Right? As far as a backup point guard, they need to be able to shoot at least 48% mid-range, somewhere in there, at least 36 from three. Is that asking too much? I don't know, right? Now, as far as a small forward goes on offense, needs to be able to handle the ball without turning it over. Am I clear? Okay. Has to be consistent on scoring, no matter what the average is. Whatever that average is, you need to be able to hit that average every single game, 82 games a season, period, okay? Has to be able to pass the ball at least three or five assists a night. Is that asking too much? Is that asking too much to be an extra distributor? Now, again, we were a little bit confined with the non-offense that we had, but still, you got to at least look to pass the ball sometimes, especially, and again, this is self-awareness. If you're not hitting those shots, you need to see what else you can do to help the team win the game, right? Again, free throws matter on the small forward side. We need to see if we can get another player that can, you know, draw some free throws, hit some free throws, right? Now, as far as the center on offense, one, can't miss layups, can't miss tip-ins, can't miss lobs. You got to be able to shoot 80% from 0 to 5 feet in, period. That's it. I mean, it's just the principle of it all. Chippies matter. I'm going to give you an example. Do y'all remember that Brooklyn game last December? Any of you? Okay. And if you watched around the ATL, you know, I almost did a borderline whole show on that game with video and everything. So that particular game made me very upset. Go watch it on IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube. Go check it out. Make sure y'all subscribe. You know what? I just forgot something. I was supposed to be doing this right here. And I just now noticed it. Give me a second. And I don't know if my co-host is going to come onto the show tonight. He usually helps me out a little bit. There we go. Make sure you call into the show, 646-652-4479 if you want to call into the show. So if you remember the Brooklyn Nets game, that particular game, we lost that game by 4 points, right? Okay. John was out, if you remember. John was hurt. We had a couple of injuries that particular game. Whole bunch of stuff happened in that part of the season in December. But we lost that game by 4 points. Now, I'm going to just say it. Clint had 3 point-blank shots that he missed. 2, 4, 6 possible points that should have been surefire points. Erased off the face of the earth. We lost that game by 4 points. The Hawks lost a lot of games within 5 points or less in a game. We lost almost 20 games this year like that. And I don't even want to get into the we lost 13 games after having a 10-point or more lead. Okay? So just on the center position, if we end up drafting the center, that particular person needs to be able to always finish in the paint. Okay? Always. Now, it would help if they could also score in the post with actual post moves, which do exist in the NBA. We saw that, right? Up and under, back to the basket, pump fake, drive to the basket, facing the – all that, along with catching the lobs. Lobs are cool, right? Also, a center that will be able to hit a mid-range jumper. That is not asking a lot. We got plenty of three-point shooters. They don't need to actually hit that three. Maybe occasionally, cool, but they got to be able to hit a 10-footer, 15-footer, 12-footer, somewhere in there, right, to keep a team honest because otherwise you're always playing 4-on-5. You can't play 4-on-5 in the NBA, especially we were giving up 118 points a game. If you want to go back and watch some of the shows where I point some of these things out in very good detail, go back, watch some of the past shows on Around the ATL, especially the Around the ATL side notes episodes. Check those out. So, again, 646-652-4479 if you want to call into the show and lend your opinion so far in regards to just that current roster makeup as far as who may be returning, who may not be returning, who do you think would help the most, especially on the bench side of things, depending on – because, again, as much as we – look, here, look, let me play it again. We still might not get nothing happening. You never know. I mean, it's possible, right? So it's something to consider as far as, you know, again, remember, we have a whole new coaching staff, a whole coaching staff, top to bottom, has been retooled, right? And so there's concentrations now on the development side, teaching side. Again, if you've seen any of my shows, read any of my posts, you know how important that is to me. You can't assume that because the person did this here that they're going to be able to do it over here, or they will actually do better over here. If they're not showing that, actions speak louder than words. Well, you're going to just let them just kind of just keep being sorry? That doesn't make any sense when you're trying to win, because isn't that the point? I think that's the point. I don't know. I think let's find Coach Herm real quick.
You play to win the game. Hello?
Thanks, Coach Herm. So, again, if the goal is to win the game, I think it's important for us to be able to have it to where you don't just assume things and you just don't let things just go and just say, well, I can't do nothing about it, even though I'm in control of everything. I can't do anything. That's an excuse. It's a poor excuse. Okay, and it tears up your team. It tears up your team. So that's just a little bit as far as the current roster. So let's get into the next subject here, the draft. Okay, so the Hawks have the 15th and the 46th pick as of right now, this moment, right? So what I've done, now I got some of these wrong after going through this, and initially, I didn't even have time to get, like, numbers from their college days. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Getting the numbers from college isn't going to be that important because, you know, what do college numbers really mean, right? Because, you know, when Michael Jordan, he was in college and he was scoring 17 a game, did you really think he was going to translate 30-point-a-game score for his career? I don't know. Maybe some did. But, you know, the Hawks drafted Sheldon Williams, and he was averaging 13-9 in college. He's one of the best college players ever, and he averaged 4 points and four boards for us for his career. So sometimes, you know, those stats in college can, you know, kind of be skewered a little bit. But nevertheless, we have some picks, and what I've done is I've kind of went into a little bit of an order in regards to some of these picks, and actually I kind of broke it down in regards to position. So I'm going to go through point guard, I'm going to go through shooting guard, I'm going to go through forwards, and then I'm going to go through a couple of centers. I think I picked about 12. So I'm going to play, let's see if I can do this how I have it planned in my head. I'm going to go over these players, and again, y'all can call in 646-652-4479. You can comment in the comment section. Just let me know your thoughts, whether or not they're a potential addition to the team, or we just need to skip over them. Like I said, a couple of these I found out I kind of got in the wrong order as far as whether or not they'd be in the first and second round. Didn't find that out until literally 20 minutes ago. Didn't have time to change it. I'm sorry. Can't help it. I've been busy, been sick, whole nine. So apologize in advance. So who's going to be the first person we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Nick Smith Jr. from Arkansas as a point guard. So let's go ahead and play a little bit of his film. I'm not going to play, but maybe 30 seconds at the most, maybe 40 seconds. We'll see how it works. But let's go check him out a little bit and see what he got going on. And here we go.
Miller guarded by Davis as they get a trap in McCoy. Nick Smith with the steal and the jam.
What a trap. What a trap. Number of shots deep relative to the overall field goal attempt stolen away by Nick Smith Jr. He's Jared
play together. Shot clock is late here for Taylor. It's at one, and it's blocked by Nick Smith Jr. But also the seven turnovers resulting into 11 points. Also turnovers. Chance to run. Smith will take it himself. And he gets it to go. Here's Smith. Puts it on the floor and goes to the lob. And that's a great finish. Reeves had his shot.
So that was some footage of Nick Smith. So let's see what they say on Bally's. Oh, by the way, I need to do this real quick because otherwise I will forget this as well. I want to go ahead and shout out the following. Let's see. Basketball Highlights, Next Ones on YouTube, Intuition Hoops on YouTube, Game Mo Money on YouTube, League Him on YouTube, and March Madness on YouTube for these highlights. Appreciate that. Let's go ahead and talk about Nick Smith Jr. a little bit. Now, 6'5", 185 pounds, give or take, 19 years old, 12 points a game. Now, his college game didn't really reflect that he passed the ball a lot. He averaged 1.7 assists per game, 1.6 rebounds per game in college at Arkansas in the SEC. So, again, whether or not you can take that and say, okay, well, how that translate, will it be bad or good? Here's what they say on the Bally's page in regards to his strengths and weaknesses. Scoring, natural bucket getter, excels at attacking the basket. We saw some of that. Ball handling, tight handle allows him to slash. Off ball movement, he can work his way open by cutting to the hoop. Guess what? If we have a motion offense, that'll be great. But you can't really have off-the-ball movement if nobody else is moving. But anyway, passing, he has the court vision to function as a playmaker and can make the flashy dive. Length, 6'8 wingspan. We saw that. Defensive energy. He projects to be a strong all-ball defender. We saw that in some of those clips. Weaknesses, strengths. Yeah, 185 pounds. That's light, right? He'll need time to develop. Three-point shooting, 33%. He was shooting four times a game. He has to improve on that. So that's just a little bit about Nick. Now, would he be a possible, you know, as a possible backup on a team that really, again, I'm looking at it from almost more so the defensive end more so than the offensive end, as I mentioned earlier, because our team gave up as many points as we scored. You can't win a lot of games when you're scoring 118 and giving up 118 points every doggone game. We did it the year before that, too, okay? So when you're talking about the whole verbiage of mediocrity, that's where that comes in at, and there was no concentration on it, and the previous coach even said, doesn't really matter to him. Action said that too, right? Doesn't matter if we blow leads. He said that. Doesn't matter if we, you know, just keep blowing these leads. But anyway, so Nick Smith, I think, could be a possible. Again, with the wingspan, again, you're talking about steals. We're talking about block shots. We're talking about that on-the-ball defense. We're talking about shifty feet, you know. One of the main reasons we would lose leads over the season, again, go to the IMTM. Let's switch this over real quick because I want y'all to hopefully watch some of the past shows. Let's see, where is it at? And, oh, wow. Did I lose it? Oh, I didn't scroll. My fault. There it is. Subscribe, y'all, to the YouTube page, IMTM Worldwide Radio. If you watch any of my past episodes, one of the main reasons we would blow 10 to 15 point leads, all you got to do is look at points in the paint, second chance points, and getting back on defense. And besides that, locking out and over freaking helping. Now, again, a lot of that is stuff that you could be trained to not do anymore. And we just weren't. It was just assumed, oh, everybody knows what they're supposed to do. No, we couldn't even play a zone defense. It was so embarrassing to know that we can't do a zone defense. It's terrible, okay? So Nick Smith can be a check mark on a few of those things, okay? Locking out. That arm, that wingspan helps when you rebound. Take it from me. I'm the rebounder on my team every time I play. You know, I don't got to jump a lot. I'm over all y'all. I'm getting this ball, right? That wingspan in regards to passing lanes can help out a lot. And again, he has the acumen. You saw that one lob pass. He can make, again, as the backup, as a true backup, and him getting, I don't know, 15, 17 minutes a night could really help out, I think. So that's player one. That's the first point guard. Let's talk about the second point guard on my list here. Let's see. That will be Cason Wallace, Kentucky point guard. And let's take a look at some of his film, if I can find it. Give me a second. Like I said, I'm doing well to get here tonight, y'all. I appreciate y'all's patience tonight.
13 offensive rebounds for the Cats. Shot clock at 3. That's 2. Wallace for 3. Smart of what Kenny Payne said even yesterday. He said, you know, we give up these runs and then we don't answer. Wallace is out. Into the paint. Left it short. Wallace the rebound.
And banging, firing, and missed it off the front iron. Loose ball. Scrum. Diving for the loose ball is Kentucky. Kick out. Frederick on a 3. Got it.
Collins Smith. Cason Wallace. Pull up from the free throw line.
Well, there's the offensive rebound.
Green trying to go up. And taken away by Wallace with the defense there. And we're just talking about Green. Up hook over the shoulder. Shot fake. Wallace with a kick. Reeves with a 3.
On the shot clock. Wallace launches right on. City native Naquan Tomlin. Winner here goes to New York. And the Sweet 16 of the East matchup. Wallace gets to the conference.
And look at the difference. The first four games in conference played the last two. And that was Wheeler.
Wallace. Shot clock at 3. 2. Gets the shot off at the horn. Oh,
so hopefully that's enough footage for Mr. Wallace there. So before I even get to the description that's listed that I have, defense wins championships. Did you see his on-the-ball defense? Right? Like, that's something that it was not stressed. It was not a point of emphasis. And a school, and here's where the culture part comes in. Kentucky, you got to play defense, right? Defense, you got to play it. It doesn't, for all these generations, one thing that you know is those guys are going to play some defense. He's a point guard playing defense. But on top of that, he takes his defense and then becomes a playmaker on top of that. Okay? So, again, it's one of those deals where we need that more so than scoring because we got the scoring. The scoring has never been an issue. 5 years, scoring has never been an issue for the Hawks. It's been stopping people. Again, I'm going to sit on my the soapbox. The first 2 years of Trae Young's career, we should have made the playoffs. If we had played a lick of defense, we would have been making the playoffs all the way through. But anyway. So let's talk about, make sure I don't get these confused, Ariel's casing. So one of the things from the big board by Kevin O'Connor mentions is that he's a game-changing point of attack defender who also fills gaps on offense as a playmaker and shooter. I just said that. I didn't even read that part. So some of his pluses. Now, again, he's an instinctual off-ball defender who can make highlight reel chase down blocks and interceptions in passing lanes. My goodness, that right there can change the whole outlook of a basketball game right there. Now, at Kentucky, he averaged 11 points, 34% from 3, 4 assists, 2 steals. 2 steals? Yeah. That's somebody that I would not mind being an Atlanta Hawk for sure. Has a soft touch from all over the floor. He's comfortable using floaters and runners. Let's see, what else? He hounds opponents with his length, toughness, and fundamentals. On the ball, he stays seated in a low stance with arms wide. Did you see that last play? That guy was kept on trying to get around him, and he would not leave. He would not jump. He would not go for no fakes. You're not scoring on me. See, that's what I be talking about. You got to have part of it has to be you to say, you're not going to score on me. Okay? And if you were scoring on me, you're not going to score anymore. It has to be in you a little bit. And then the other part of it is just the coaching of the fundamentals and basics of not doing stupid stuff, okay? What else about Mr. Wallace? Okay, so some of the minuses. Unproven shooter off the dribble, especially from behind the arc. Now, we know there has been, you know, like with Murray, he's a better one type of shooter than this type of shooter. The offense kind of hurt him in regards to that because technically he's not a three-point shooter, but we had him out there shooting threes galore. But anyway, he's more comfortable from mid-range. Why not set up the offense to cater to the strengths of the players on your team? Because that's what other teams do that win. But again, go watch some of my other episodes. I don't want to get into that too deep. Back to Mr. Wallace on the minuses. Considering his lack of burst off the dribble and his lack of elite handle, he might not have the go-to scoring upside that some teams desire in a top pick. Now, again, if somebody is trying to get him as the guy on that on the team on the point guard side, that could be valid. But if he's a backup on the team, negate that. We could use somebody just visually like that. I think some of you would agree with that. So that's Mr. Wallace. That's the other point guard I wanted to talk about. Again, the number is 646-652-4479 is the number. Thanks for those who have been patient and helping me get through this evening with all the stuff going on, as you heard on the beginning of the show. So who is the next player that I want to talk about? In this case, is a shooting guard, okay? Now, do the Hawks need another shooting guard or not? Now, some of that is going to be based off of moves possibly made, right? Which right now, is as far as I'm concerned, it's up in the air. But like I said, I wanted to try to hit all the positions just as a generalization of what the Hawks could and couldn't do or would and won't do type of a deal. So the first shooting guard I want to talk about is Colby Jones out of Xavier, okay? And let's see if I can find his footage, and we'll take a look and see what Colby be doing. Give me a second, and there we go.
Jones used the free mantle screen. He'll pull it from deep. And last time the Musketeers led, it was 2-0. Jones, hesitation, sealed off by Nutt.
So enough about Colby. So one thing I noticed is his willingness to pass. You know, sometimes you're not open. Okay. Sometimes somebody else is more open than you. Are you willing to make that extra pass? That baseball pass is important. The other night, Sunday night when I was playing ball, I forget the exact play, but I think I was going into the post. I got the ball. I passed it back out. Another pass got open over here in the corner, wide open shot. You know, just passing the ball has to be mandatory to you. Again, remember the movie Hoosier? Oh, you know what? I haven't played that in a while since I haven't done the show in a while. Let's see if I can find that real quick for y'all. Just so y'all know how serious I am about this. There it is.
How many times are we going to pass before we shoot? How many? Four
times. Pass that ball. If we had a motion offense, we would be almost unstoppable as a team, as a Hawks team. But we didn't. We just weren't going to do that. It was that Houston Rocket game. Y'all remember that game? Oh, boy. Anyway, but for Colby, besides that, he looks pretty fluid in his shot. Was pretty active in things of that nature. Now, the one thing about the reason I hesitate about the shooting guard position also is because I still kind of want to give Tyrese a shot. You know what I'm saying? As a backup. Again, at College Park, he was getting 18 and 8 a night, 18 points, 8 rebounds a night. So, you know, do you not have him on the roster and actually draft a shooting guard? I wouldn't say so. But again, I'm gonna go through two more shooting guards after Mr. Kobe. So let's talk about Kobe on paper a little bit. Let's see if I can find his info. At Xavier, he gave them 15 points, 5 rebounds, or almost 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.3 steals a game on 50% shooting, 37% from 3. Okay. He went 3 seasons there. He's 6'5", right at 200 pounds. So his strengths this is Game Hoss. TheGameHoss.com. Shout out to them. So his strengths would be he's versatile, able to play both on the ball and off the ball well. He could run the offense a little bit, they said, but that's not his primary. He could when he had to. Making plays for others is something that he improved on in college over his 3 years there, and so you could see that. Pick and roll, he'd be great for that. He improved his three-point shot, as you just heard the numbers I just said as well. Weaknesses, improving his free throw shooting. He's 65% on free throws. But as a guard, that definitely can get better. That'll help. He improved his three-point shooting, as I said, but that didn't translate to the free throw line for whatever reason. Even though he has good body control, he's not an elite athlete, they say. Never know how that works out in basketball, right? He says he could have trouble blowing by defenders, although he had a couple of spin moves on that clip, right, that you saw. The ability to guard a few different positions, but he can improve on his defense. So, again, if it's me and I'm looking at more on the defensive side, this probably wouldn't be a pick I would go with as far as just that goes. But as a shooting guard, yeah, he could do pretty good. Who's next? Jalen Hood-Schifino. Out of Indiana, shooting guard. So let's take a look and see what he brings to the table. Let me see if I can find Mr. Jalen real quick for y'all. Give me a second. And here we go. Uh-oh, wait. Okay, here we go.
Jamal Hernandez, they find Peck. That's all. What a play. What a recovery by Hood-Schifino in the Mid-American Conference Tournament Championship game. He's their do-everything point guard. Here's a 12-minute shot for Schifino.
That was a two. He wants to clear out.
Inside. Top the again. Here comes Mr. Schifino. He's in a smart pass. One more than 10 minutes. Sorry, stays on for 7 minutes. For Schifino.
Some pretty impressive footage. One, he can pass. Two, he can get to the basket. Three, he has a jumper and he has touch. If he drives into a lane, he wants to just throw the floater or whatnot. So he's very versatile on the offensive side. But then also, you saw the blocks. Okay, again, defense wins championships, right? And, you know, at his size, I'm just giving the observation before I get into the read. He looks like he can rebound a little bit too, just saying, right? Now, I just saw someone call in. Let me see if I can bring in this caller real quick. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, sir. This is John. John Harris from Union City there.
What's going on, John? How you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, man, doing pretty good. Like I told you, I was on the road. I said I was going to pull over, and that's what I did. I finally got a spot where I could pull over to get some bars on the phone. You know, I'm already up against it. I'm I'm up in the Tennessee mountains, and then I got T-Mobile. Two strikes already.
I was going to say, see, you know, I used to sell cell phones, so you said T-Mobile. I was like, uh-oh. I appreciate you calling in for a few minutes. I was just showing the highlights of Jalen Hood-Schifino from Indiana, the shooting guard. I'm going through different levels as far as potential players the Hawks might look at as far as the 15th and 46th picks. So I just finished showing the footage of Jalen. I was about to go through his description. Do you have any initial thoughts since I got you on the line as far as where the Hawks might go as far as position? And do you know any players? I don't know how much of the college game you've looked at or even looked at some of these prospects, but is there anybody on your radar that you've looked at? I might have them pulled up.
In my opinion, after looking at how the finals turned out,
mm-hmm.
I got to have two big men. I mean,
okay.
You know, I got to have two big men because I'm looking at what happened with Boston and I'm looking at what happened with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
When the shooting stops, you know, it's an age-old adage. Kareem did it. Tim Duncan did it. I would say Lopez and Giannis and Portis did it. When the shooting starts going off, you got to have somebody to pound it down inside or have someone to feed those shooters so that, once the double team comes to the center, feed it out there to the shooter, whether he's at the three-point line or two-point line. You know, it's old, okay, because everybody has gone to this stretch four, stretch five, stretch three, stretch two situation, and a good old-fashioned center just dominated everybody on the floor in the finals, okay? You know, it's back to the future. Really, that's what that showed me is back to the future. Now, I'm going to tell you, Chris, something. I would keep my team as it is with all of its foibles, all of its shortcomings that the people in the positions have, and go get me two big men and see what we can do. And I have this feeling that we would be able to at least go fourth or fifth seed at the very least in the playoffs. You know, we would definitely look way better than what we looked this year because, see, the same thing that befell us, it befell Boston and it befell Miami. When the shots go cold, you have nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have anybody to pound it down inside. When the shots go cold, and everybody was going cold at the same time on both teams.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we almost put Miami out because Miami was ice cold. Now, if they hadn't won that second play-in, Miami wouldn't have even been there. Now, it's a testament to them that they made it. It's a testament to them that they made it to the finals. What was it, 11 out of 12 times? Something, it was some stat that they had. Miami is always there. It might. Can't finish the deal, but they're always there. Okay, fine, good. But there's a point where you get tired of just coming to the dance and not dancing with the best girl, not winning any prizes, not going home with anything, you know, the show.
And to kind of, you know, build off that a little bit, and one of the things I've said throughout the whole season and the year before that is that at a certain point, if the shot ain't doggone going in, you got to do something different. You can't let somebody go 0 for 10 from 3.
For the love of God, he just shot a 3.
You can't do it. You see what I'm saying? At a certain point, you got to slow down and be like, step in, and or you know what? You can set a screen, and or you know what? We could do a pick and roll or pick and pop. Let somebody else do something rather than just keep shooting these oblong shots because guess what? A sure 2 is better than an oblong 3 every single time, and we see it, but it's like, well, you just don't believe it. So, yeah, I definitely can agree with you. Now, let me ask you this before I go into Jalen a little bit because I do want to continue going through some of these players. You are you talking about getting a center from the draft or a center via free agency?
Either way. Now, the thing is that free agency, the names that I keep hearing, you just about have to tear your team up in order to get something that you want out of free agency. I mean, okay, everybody was talking about Ayton. Everybody was talking about Porzingis, various people. Okay, you just about got to destroy your team that you have already and get this person. Okay, all right. They might want a first round. Okay, they might want one of your first round draft picks and a player, a Murray, a John Collins, you know, something of that nature. Now, okay, John Collins, and you pointed this out many, many times, the man, in order for the man to survive, the man has got to be fed. You've got to feed the man, okay? You can't let that man just languish over there in the corner, languish up under the basket. You never pass him the ball, you know, because I know that he has a good turnaround game. He has a good turnaround shot, okay? Now, how is he going to be better at that unless you feed him, okay?
Yeah.
How is your team going to get better unless you feed him? Coach, what are you telling your players about seeing a man open? All right, this man get a rebound. You know, it's just like, you know, when you do your Sunday night basketball synopsis. All right. You done worked like a Hebrew slave to get rebounds.
I'm
old.
I'm like the second oldest player on the court at this point. I'm like, you know, I'm in my late 40s and everything, but I'm in the post banging and killing people. And then.
Yeah.
I don't get the ball. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if I don't get the ball. If I do get the ball and I don't try to score, I'm trying to get the ball to get position to help somebody else possible score. But if I do have an advantage, yes, I'm going to make a move. I'm going to hit a baby hook or a turnaround jumper or whatever that nobody can block or whatever. But in essence, though, it's like if you don't actually do that, you know what you're doing? You're just shooting from the outside. And you can't do that
when
we got a scoreboard and cheerleaders and everything. Like, what are y'all doing out here? So, yeah.
And the thing is, you know, I think I told you about this once before when Jordan was on. I used to go to run and shoot and play. And playing with the young folk. Okay, this was before Steph Curry. This is when the three-point line first came out. You know, it was early. You had a few people who could shoot three-pointers in the league. And, you know, it was the Coopers or the Craig Hodges or various people like that. But you had these youngins trying to shoot threes. Okay, fine. Now, I've gotten the rebound for you. I got an alleyway for you to come straight to the basket. Got my man pent on my back. I pass you the ball. Instead of you driving to the basket, you back up.
Yeah.
And launch one of them Saddam Hussein scuds that, you know, they tracked it at the airport. They don't know where it's going. They just know something up there in the air. All right. Now, after about four of those, I'm not passing the ball to you no more. Hey, man, you saw I was open. Yeah, I did. You're absolutely right. I did see you open. Well, why are you passing? You ain't hit a shot all night, bruh. You know, he had a shot on that.
And again, that's where the self-awareness comes into play, right, John? Again, if you're not self-aware, someone else has to take control. And in this case, that has to be the coach, you know, and that wasn't really happening. Now, give me a second because I do want to go through Jalen's profile real quick. 6'4", 216 pounds, 13 points. There at Indiana that he scored a game, 4 rebounds a game, almost 4 assists a game. Some of his playmaking, he operates at his own pace. Pick and roll, he's really good at that. Mid-range jumper, he's proficient. Knockdown shots are 18 feet and in. His size, he's very physical on both ends of the floor. 6'10 wingspan, that's where you saw those blocks in that segment that I showed y'all a little bit ago. He's blocking all these shots and everything. His weaknesses, not a lot. Three-point shooting, 33%. That can get better. Struggles at the rim caused him to shoot only 44% inside the arc. So he has to get better at finishing. So I think, though, again, on the just the defensive end, like I said, I'm leaning towards making the team better defensively because, again, the team scored 118 points a game. They gave up 118 points a game. Nobody wins like that, and the Hawks just proved that. He could be a possible prospect to kind of look at. But, again, do we really need a shooting guard rather than another position? I don't know about that. So before we get further, John, I do want to go to my next player. If I can find my list again, bear with me here. That was Mr. Schifino, number five, Grady D. I'm not going to say his whole name. I can't do it. But let's look at his highlights all the same, though. So give me a second. Let's see if we can pull up his highlights. Give me a second, John, okay?
Harris, rise and fire. And Dick with the throwdown. Grady Dick, another follow. McCullough, settle on him. Adams spins. Adams in traffic. The follow by Grady Dick. Active inside. Halfway through this first half. From behind by Harris. Forces the turnover. Harris pops up. Gives it up. Dick. On the drive. He'll send it out to the corner. Yakapoon. Keeping this candy. Keep it spread out to begin the passing. One time and one target. Grady Dick. Quick release, rattles one home. Dick turns the corner, lets it fly. One of the best strokes going in college basketball, Grady Dick. Otis is going to work, runs into a wall, and Wilson and Adams, they force it. Here comes Grady Dick. Yeah, like good teams do. Kansas figured out a way to kind of wedge away the momentum. Put themselves up at halftime on the 19-5 run. Wilson on the breakaway. Howard turns it over. Right there with the offensive rebound. They have the putback. Everybody gets a touch. No, Dick right there on the offensive rebound. On a rim run.
If you saw that one pass right there, that shows you that he's pretty much in his head. He's always looking to get the ball to somebody as well. He can make some plays, and you can see also on the offensive side, he can hit some shots, too. He has a really good shot, and him playing at Kansas, you know, in that particular conference, that's pretty competitive there. So he looks pretty good as far as that goes. 646-652-4479 is the number, by the way, of course. And thanks for Rico and some others who've been chiming in on the chat line as well. And, of course, thanks, John, for calling in and helping me out a little bit, trying to get me through this little sickness that I have this evening. So Grady plays at Kansas. Some of his goods and bads. First of all, 6'6", 200 pounds, 19 years old, 14 points a game average, 5 rebounds a game there at Kansas. 3-point shooting, shot 40%. Free throw shooting, 85%. Decision making, he'll make the right pass and move the ball to maintain the flow of the offense. Interesting, right? Weaknesses, defensively, he'll be challenged with staying in front of NBA guards. Strength, he'll need to bulk up a little bit. As I mentioned, he's right at 204.66. So that's a little bit about Grady. I don't want to dwell on him too much because, again, on the defensive side, I'm leaning towards if we're going to pull some players from the draft, they need to be a little bit more on the defensive side than the offense. We got plenty of offense with what we got. John, I don't know if you – well, of course, you're on the radio, so you didn't get to see that. But do you have any ideas in regards to, you know, possible picks in regards to that end of it as far as, like, guards and whatnot?
Okay, now, is this man, and this is a question for anyone that we draft.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going on the floor? Are they going on the floor this year?
Well,
and the reason why I asked.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Cause
at the very beginning of the show, I did the whole roster layout, and I mentioned like four or five players are probably on the bubble as far as we probably are not going to see them just because I think we can get players that will be, at the end of the day, a better fit for the rest of the guys that will be here. And I mentioned those names, and I'll go ahead and mention them to you so you can know who they were.
I heard you when you mentioned him. I did hear that part.
Go ahead with
and what I wanted to say is that, okay, Quinn has shortened the rotation to 9 players, okay? So a lot of the names that you mentioned were going to get the Golden Splinter Award for riding the Oak anyway.
Yeah.
Because
now,
the rotation
now,
has been short.
We were in the playoffs and he shortened it?
Chris, he shortened it to 8 in the playoffs.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think it proves that
was
such a stretch. That's all I'm saying.
No. See, he shortened it to 9 because you remember AJ didn't get on the floor. When he came in, when he first came here, AJ didn't get on the floor. It was always JJ, okay? Now, in the playoffs, he shortened it to 8 players, all right?
Yeah.
Now, and that's the problem I'm having because really, Chris, I don't know what this man's offense is. I don't know what this man's defense is. I don't know what his philosophy is. I know so little about him that, you know, I can't really project what it is that he would want to bring in here, okay? I saw the 20-something games that he coached and how he, you know, coached everybody and the substitutions that he made, things of that sort, but I couldn't draw a bead on who he actually was, okay?
Yeah.
So, and then on top of that, all right, there was talk that Quinn had agreed to become head coach, and he agreed to become head coach here because he was going to have a certain amount of say-so, certain amount of power. Well, in an interview this week, he said, no, I didn't accept the job under that. I trust in Lance. You know, I trust in these people to make the right selections and get the right people. Now, he may trust in him, but I don't, which makes me not trust in him because these people, man, look, I would be scared to go to an auction with one item and one bidder with these people. They'll mess that up. You know,
yeah.
I mean, That's the confusing part right now with all of the people that we're looking at. Everybody that I'm listening to, that I'm hearing, we're projecting, but we don't have a foundation by which to project, if you understand what I'm saying, because I don't know which way.
And in this case, it's like we're kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not caught behind a rock in a hard place because it was a circumstantial thing as far as when he came in and what he had to play with. And remember, he's also was working with the coaching staff that at the end of the day was not going to be his coaching staff as well. And we were still going into the playoffs. So I think this offseason, again, is going to be a monumental offseason to you know, figure these things out. But I still think it's going to be fun to kind of at least look at it from the outside looking in without trying to make too many assumptions, things of that nature, because we have some really good players on our team. They just were not put in the best position to succeed for the majority of the NBA season of this year and last year, you know what I'm saying, and years before that. Because, again, that's all coaching is. Again, the reason that the Miami Heat continue to do what they do is because Coach Spo takes whoever he has, no matter who they are on their roster, that he's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out. He's going to make sure that he's not putting them in a position of disservice and you really can't help the team doing this. He's going to take what you know what you can do. You always want to get better, but we know you can do this right now. We need you to do this right now and be exceptional at it. That's what Bill Belichick has done over the years and all these other coaches. So that's why I think I'm hoping we get to see this season finally and having an actual offense crafted behind one of the best passers in the NBA, bar none. He's led the league in assists 2 years in a row. And having all these other players who are really good at doing certain things and getting them to be able to do those things rather than the opposite of things and enforcing that down people's throats to be like, okay, well, we're going to be successful doing this even though we're not, right? So real quick, and thanks for weighing that comment. I'm going to see if I can look up G.G. Jackson in a second, but I can't pull up the highlights and actually download it and all that in the midst of a show. I can't do that. But I'll see if I can figure out who that is. Also, thanks for Rico looking in and all the others who are watching live right now. And again, you can call in 646-652-4447. Now we have about an hour left. I was going to take a break, but I'm not going to do that because I know I want to try to get through the rest of these players. Leonard Miller from G League Ignite. He plays power forward, I guess you could say, in G League. So I guess up here he would be a forward slash center possibly. We'll see. Let's look at some highlights of Mr. Leonard, and we'll talk about him for a second. So let's go find his highlights real quick. Mr. Leonard, here we go. Leonard, and let's talk about him real quick just to give you a brief description. 6'10", 213 pounds, again playing power forward currently. They use him as a slasher cutter a little bit, switchable forward on defense, they say. His strengths, 6'10", 7'2", wingspan. They say he's a guard at heart. You kind of saw that, you know, him dribbling all the way down the court and finishing on his own, things of that nature. Has a little bit of touch and finesse around the rim. That bodes well for him as far as that goes. They say he has a ways to go as a decision maker, but he has an upside as a passer and playmaker on that end as well. Not a great shooter as far as that goes, but again, that's something to where are you using him as a big as far as that goes, and do you really need him more on one side than the other? His weaknesses, again, three-point shot. So he's not going to be a threat as far as that goes. And they say on the defensive end, they say it's theoretical at this point. He has flashes, or his steal and block numbers are mid, you know, per se. Well, I saw a couple of, again, you saw the tape, and it says that he can do it, but will he get put into that position to where he can do it and stuff like that? And that's where coaching comes in. I mean, he'd be a rookie. So that's a little bit about Mr. Leonard as far as a big right there as a possible. John, so again, we were talking about possible free agents, but I don't know, again, have you seen any rookies that could be a possible big option as a drafted player?
I've seen a couple. The only thing, okay, what is going to be, and see, you hit on it at the beginning of the show. What is our time frame looking like? Because we can't go through this, you know, two more years. We need help now. We need immediate help now. And that's why I'm leaning toward, I'm kind of leaning toward a free agent or some free agents. Preferably from that from the EuroLeague, because at the center and power forward position, they are a bit more polished, they're a bit more physical, than, you know, what we're seeing coming out of college. And one thing that I'm seeing that's being emphasized in college are these slashers, these slash four, five slash fives and slash fours and, you know, stretch this and stretch that. And see, we need some help. We need some size. We need to have a presence down low. You know, we were watching John Collins, we were watching watching Jalen Johnson, and it wasn't like they were being taught or they had any type of attitude. Now, we have someone on the coaching staff now that is a big man coach. And, he stacked up a whole bunch of EuroLeague championships as well as accolades. And, you know, he has enough equity to where people will listen to what it is that he has to say. You know, if you want rings or you want championships or someone who knows how to play the position, this particular man, I can't think of his name, but this particular man, he has that type of equity where he can get a John Collins. Look, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to work on. JJ, this is what you need to work on. Double O, hey, you're an undersized center, but you got the strength, you got the tenacity, you need to work on this, you need to work on that. And drill and in this offseason, you know, really get these people together, okay? I mean, get
them. Hey, John, we got a video person now. So it's like, you know how I've been, is like, are we even looking at any tape? Because we couldn't be continued to not block out, to not get back on defense, to not be able to rotate, to keep over helping if we were looking at the tape and saying, hey, guys, here's the tape. Stop doing this. I believe that's going to start happening now. And I think that's going to get taught out of all these guys at this point. So that's a great point right there for sure. As far as the size goes, I don't think we're going to really find anybody out of college with size. I don't think. I do have a couple of other centers to kind of look at, and I'm going to go over them in a second. But I do want to acknowledge G.G. Jackson, because Wayne had mentioned to him. I did take a look a little bit out of, I believe this is South Carolina, 15 points a game, almost 6 rebounds a night, pretty good size. He's a player. I've seen some of his stuff. I don't know why I didn't pull him. I don't know why I missed him, but that's definitely an option right there, I believe. So appreciate that, Wayne. Jordan Jackson has chipped in a little bit too. So shout out to Jordan making the show a little bit. Appreciate that. Let me go to the next player, actually. His name is, let me see if I can pronounce this correctly, Mohamed Giai. And I will pull him up real quick so we can see where he was playing. I want to say off the top of my head because I've been doing this all night. Washington, I believe it is. Let's see if I can find him. Yep, Washington State. There he is on the screen. Let's look at a couple of his highlights and see if he could be, you know, a possible option, y'all. Give me a second. And here are his highlights.
10 double-doubles on the season for Jay. Second in the Pac-12.
He's got a good match right there. One-on-one in the paint. And Jay just...
Here's Mullen. Okay, well, quick trigger, and he hit. 14. Really bolstered the resume for the team. Rosario getting a lot of minutes in this game with a short-handed shoot. Open inside. And what a shot! Jay Mullen, who committed the foul with the start. We got 3 minutes before he went to the sideline. Here's Jakubowski. Jay's already got a 15-footer, stretches it out. This quick three here for Washington State so far. We've talked about the space. Turned his ankle. He's not available for the rest of the game. Back to work. Harrison Carnery is into the game with 6'10" sophomore guarding Mohamed Giai right now. Here's Giai with it. Going right to work. And he gets the bucket. But to keep pace at the top of the league against the Washington State team that beat them on New Year's. Josh Morgan. If you're in the infield, do you want to save anything from you and Trooper for the end of the game? There is Giai with the bucket.
All right, so his last name is pronounced Giai, Mohamed Giai. Now, just from those highlights, one, he finishes at the basket. You saw that. Two, he plays with some force, as you can see. with his size. He also has a three. It looks like he has a three. You never know as far as that goes. Now, as far as his profile, 6'11", 210 pounds out of Washington State, as I mentioned. Excels at scoring off the ball on motion plays. Adequate shooter for a big man, has stretch big potential. Decent rebounder, decent defender, adequate shot blocker. Above average athlete. Cons, must improve his low game, low post game. He can be too passive on offense, which is not a good thing. Right there. Says not an elite rebounder. So that kind of actually, now that I'm reading that, kind of gives me a little bit of concern. But again, coaching can change that a little bit. Must get stronger. And again, that's just a size thing right there a little bit as well. But he has a good size. I mean, if you just saw those highlights right there, I wouldn't be too mad. Again, this is a pick that would be in the lower part of the draft, obviously, right there. To go with John was saying, as far as we need to have somebody with some size. Again, we don't know what we're going to do with Bruno or whatnot. But if you can get someone who might be better than Bruno, you got to do that. But if we keep Bruno, or we don't have Bruno, but we don't bring in a free agent because we're not going to spend no money, you got to look at least one big out of the draft, I think, sincerely, to be able to provide some of that to offset what other teams are doing. Again, I know some of our offensive techniques are going to change, and that's going to help out a lot. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty in the playoffs and a seven-game series type of a deal, like John said, we need somebody that, you know, we need extra people who can hit in that post and be a threat. Again, we can't play 4-on-5 no more. That's all I'm concerned about. If we don't have to play 4-on-5 all the time, we'll win a whole lot more games just based off of that, as I mentioned that Brooklyn Net example earlier tonight. John, any comments? I know you couldn't see Mr. Muhammad there, but if you get a chance, you know, definitely take a look at him too.
Hey, what are the picks?
You're breaking up a little bit on that T-Mobile, John. Help me out. But if you, I think I heard you,
okay.
What was
okay.
His stats and stuff? He's 6'11", 210 pounds. On the page, this is the NBA Scouting Live page, by the way. And I've been shouting out all the pages tonight, giving everybody credit, so just let you know.
Right, okay.
6'11", 210. He has a pretty good wingspan. Has pretty nice size. He can move. He doesn't look awkward or anything like that. Again, he's really good at off-ball motion plays, so he's great at pick and roll, pick and pop. He has a jumper. He hit a couple of jumpers. I saw it. He nothing but net type stuff, so he has a shot. It looks like he will get in there and mix it up with people, shot blocker, get some rebounds. I think it's just consistency, if anything. Again, I don't know the team that well to know what he did during the season and stuff like that, but that's just a little bit about him.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to find out, you know, some specifics. Because, see, okay, he's got good size, 6'11". All right, he needs to gain some weight, a couple of trips to the Whopper House at least 2 times a week. You know, he'll be straight by around about All-Star game time. You know, he'll have about 20-something, 30-something pounds on him. And, you know, one thing that we have on our team, and, you know, I just want everybody to think about this. On defense, when Trae Young is on the floor, Trae Young, no matter what he does, him being as small as he is a defensive liability. So the other four players have to cover him, you know. Now, and Trae Young can play defense from the person's shoulders down. Okay, once the ball goes above his shoulders, okay, Trae Young's defensive assignment. You know, he got a heck of an assignment. Only thing he'll
this
probably
he's
be
saying,
able to do.
Though, again, it's not his guy that's giving us 30 a night, though. So I'm just throwing that out there
right,
for everybody.
Right. And on the offensive end, if you have Clint Capela on the floor, the other four players have to cover for him. So we are a situation where you've got to cover for each other, okay? For each other's weaknesses. Now, you can't have 2 to 3 players out there on the floor, or you can't have 3 players out there on the floor that are liabilities either way, okay? So, thing is that Trae Young, And see, this is something that, you know, we were talking about. Trae Young has got to be either your point guard or your shooting guard. And, you know, that job that he's doing every night, he's doing two people's job every night. You know, that's one thing that I was looking at because, okay, if you want this man to score, can he score and facilitate at the same time? And when he does facilitate, will you hit the shot? Will you hit the shot? And when you play defense, can you play good enough defense to where you can cover for any any slack that Trae Young is going to provide because of him being vertically challenged and being small? And we haven't been getting that out of our team. We haven't been getting that out of our team.
So, not consistently, anyway.
No. I mean, when it would count, we weren't there. You know, we just wasn't there. You need a stop by somebody to put a hand in the face or body somebody up or man up to where you're not being knocked all over the floor. All right, and you know, we would fall short at all five positions sometimes.
And see, and again, that's where that responsibility on the coaching side, where's the tape at? Because that's something visible that everybody can see. And it's like, if everybody else can see it, why isn't it being addressed? Why is it just throwing your hands up in the air as if nothing can change? And I'm like, well, that's wrong. That's clearly wrong because other teams are doing it. So I got an option for you on that side of the ball as far as doing a little bit extra. Derek Lively out of Duke as a possible. And so I'm gonna show some of his highlights real quick for the audience, and then I'll break down some of his profile as well.
Here's a shot outside by Jurgens, no good on the screen. And then Lively goes in. Standing offensive rebound. Here's in the corner. There's another one. Saved over there by Mitchell. Out to Filipowski. He's this good spin move and a good feed. Lively. Top 25. Efficiency. And the move. His draft again. Shot on the fly. Jurgens can't get it. Out of bounds. He can get very hot very quickly. And over inside, Malaka is caught by Roach. It goes by Lively. You can't get it. Lively rifle, particularly with a lead like this. Oh, Lively, and they're altering the shot. He blocked that one. With Eastmas on him, and the shot clock down to 7. In the Lively. Lively now has 77 field goals on the year. 57 of them.
All right, so I'm up in his highlight reel on another rejection. So in regards to Mr. Lively, they're at Duke. Five points a game, 5 rebounds a game, and assists 2.4 blocks a game, 65% shooting from the field, doesn't really shoot threes. He's trying to block all the shots. Okay, that's one thing. If you saw those highlights, he had one game, he had 6 block shots or whatnot. So that's a rim protector for you. Okay, that's somebody who can help you immediately. His wingspan is, if he doesn't block it, he's going to deter that shot. It's going to be deflected. It's going to be off. You're not going to get a clean look anymore. Now, strength-wise, he's a little light, but a whole lot of guys are coming into the league light. It's always been like that. They're going, like you said, like John said, going to have to go to Waffle House a little bit. But the wingspan, you can't really ignore that part. He blocks shots. So also on the rebounding side, that's another thing as far as, again, being able to find your man. If we have this weakness, again, of not being able to block out and know where your guy is, if you have somebody like that on your team, it might not matter as much because if that ball goes in the air and somebody misses it, he's right there. He's going to snatch that out the air for you a couple of times. If he's coming off the bench doing that, he's a threat now. Every time you need to stop somebody from scoring, he's a threat now. You just put him in there and be like, block everything. And that's what he's going to go do. Sometimes you need that. So, again, John, I know you can't see anything, but I know you heard some of that. And I just ran off some of his statistics there. What would you think about him? And actually, that's a player that a lot of people have heard about because he's from Duke and everything like that.
Now, that's somebody I can work with. You know, that's somebody I can work with. Because, see, once you block a few shots and you stand tall and, you know, block shots like Marvin Webster, the human eraser, look, the word gets around and your teams get intimidated and they'll come up there and look at him, pass it off to somebody, which will be a lower percentage shot because you might be right there in the paint getting ready to lay it up or shoot it over this man, and this man is standing there with his hand up and you know his reputation. Hey, you know, that can definitely work. That can definitely work.
Yeah. And one of the other things, too, is, you know, being able to run the floor. But, that's the other thing, too. Again, off of a screen or a pick-and-roll situation where you have your man up top, the center has been caught in that switch, you got to have somebody who's willing to move up and be able to do something if you do move up. You got to be able to be some kind of a defensive threat to where you're just not going to just give them a wide-open shot. You can't worry about what's happening behind you anymore. You can't do two things at once. Now, some of that is training and coaching, but also some of that is just doggone common sense. I got to play this guy. And, again, you just have to trust that your teammates will pick up man. And that's why I always talk about my Sunday night basketball videos when I play. If I move, if I'm going to run around with the point guard for a little bit, someone's going to have to go or either I need to be able to switch back or fight through the screen or around it to where I won't get caught in the screen in the first doggone place, was what I usually do. But if I end up getting put on to the point guard, I got to stay with that point guard long enough to where I can find my man back in the post again before they can find my guy and have an advantage. But see, also, though, guess what? Because I'm out there hustling. Even if they do get the ball to my guy and he has an advantage, you know what I'm coming around to doing? I'm coming around there to either swat the ball, deflect it, do something to help out because I'm a double team, okay? Again, some of that is natural, but some of that is per training to know that's where you're supposed to be in that situation. And we didn't get that. We haven't gotten that kind of direction and coaching from the bench to be able to have our guys ready in each and every single situation, which is frustrating because we scored 118 points a game and gave up 118 points a game. Doggone it, what are we doing as a team? So that's just a little bit, like I said, as far as some of the draft picks. I do have one more I do want to kind of throw out there for y'all, kind of like a sleeper pick, I guess you can say. Let me see if I can find him real quick. His name is, where'd he go? I can barely talk. Tristan Vucevic from Serbia, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Let's see if I can find his highlights real quick, and then we'll talk about him. And we'll talk about some other players and get into some other stuff a little bit as we get ready to close out the show.
I mean, last year, you know, at Santa Clara, winds up making all rookie team this year, gets picked in a lottery here. And I'm not saying that what he did last year got him into lottery, but I think it certainly
came up on the foul line without going too deep.
Wasn't Jalen Wilson Santa Clara as well?
That's right. Okay. Jordan Miller. With a knockdown three plus the foul, the redshirt senior out of Miami.
Not anymore. He's got two Final Fours under his belt.
A timeout as they find themselves down by eight. We like that this game is a little more tightly contested than the first one. The first one was a bit of a blowout.
So that's enough of Tristan. So Tristan is pretty much your stretch big, basically. You can see his shot selection. He's not really in the post at all. But as the stretch four part or stretch five, whatever you want to call it, he has a pretty good shot there, as you can see. He didn't have a lot of shots where he was playing at. Let's see if I got him pulled up here. He is 6'11", 223 out of Serbia, as I mentioned. He's 20 years old. 21 games he played with Real Madrid, had 11 starts, averaged eight points, three boards, an assist. I'm trying to look at some of these other stats real quick. Basically, they say for his analysis, he was inconsistent with his playing time, so you don't really know what you got there. Made 37% of his threes, okay? Not really a threat on the defensive end, really. But definitely as far as a stretch, he's from Serbia. That should give you a little bit of an indication. I'm just saying. Somebody just won a world championship like that, right? And coaching can help him throughout the rest of the stuff. But, again, if you just need somebody who can score off the bench, who's a big, and the other big is not going to want to come out there and guard you, he has wide open shots all day, right? So that's just something to think about as far as that goes. But, again, me, I'm looking more on the defensive side, who can come on the team and help get those extra rebounds, get those extra steals, get those extra block shots, be able to block out your man, be able to get around the screen or be able to rotate properly and just be in your assignments on a regular basis and want to stop people. Because the want to, we need more of that. Again, it has to come from the players and it has to come from the coaching staff to make sure that the players are doing it, which means if you don't do it, you can't play type of a deal, which I've been saying for 5 billion years now, of course. As far as that goes. So those are a lot of players. There's a couple of others, but I just don't even really want to talk about those guys because I don't want my whole throat to just fall apart or anything like that. But, John, any final thoughts in regards to just players in general? Because, again, I wanted to talk just a draft in this show as far as it's possible because we got the 15th pick. If you do your due diligence, you can get good players in that range. We know that because we've done it before, right? The second round is always a, you know, toss-up or whatnot, but you can get quality at that 15th pick. What would your final thoughts be in regards to what you would like to see happen? Because like I said, we're going to do another show that we're going to talk about free agency all throughout the night. But tonight I just wanted to concentrate on the draft.
Well, the Hawks scouting department, time for you guys to go to work. Time for you guys to do your research, bang the pavement, get on the phone, get on the plane, get on the bus, get on the train, find players. Find players. You know, if we're going to tear the whole team up in order to get a free agent that somebody likes, like a Siakam or whoever it is, no. You got to go. And you got to have basketball people, just like you going to get a watermelon. You got to know how to thump them watermelons to know whether this thing is going to be sweet or not, or whether it's going to be a good watermelon. So the same thing with your scouting staff, with your coaching staff. And you know, I always say, and I've been saying it for the past 5 or 6 years. And this was when we didn't have coaches on the staff that could train big men, that could train guards. Okay, now, you know, you got Mark Price and you got Kyle Korver, okay? They can do a little training. You got this coach that, like I said, I can't remember what his name is. You got him. But prior to them, Hakeem Olajuwon run a big man camp down there in Houston, okay? John James went down there. Kobe Bryant went down there. They had already won rings, but they wanted to learn some more. You know, we've got to go and pick the right thing this time. All right? And see, one thing, too, Chris, this is an entirely new coaching staff. It wasn't like you switched the heads on the coaching staff and that was it. This is an entirely new coaching staff. People with somewhat, you know, with pedigrees. I'll just say it. They have pedigrees. All right?
Yeah.
So I expect, to your point, I expect a well-coached, well-trained team versus what we've been having with Lloyd Pierce and with Nate McMillan. You know, I really am expecting that because I'm looking at, you know, all the people that they hired. I'm looking at all those people. And they have pedigree. They have tenure. They have experience. It all depends. Now, if you go and pick the right horse, You know, if the horse got a hump in his back going the wrong way, you don't want that horse. You want a horse that you can ride, okay? You want a horse that you can show off. Go pick the right thing for your team. Get the best thing you can, whether it be one of the American colleges, whether it be one of the American free agents, or if you got to go across the water, if you got to go to Australia, if you got to go to China, wherever it is that you need to go to get the best players for this team, guys, go do it. We'll be watching.
Yeah. This is, like I said, this is a monumental offseason for the Hawks. We can't keep wasting the talent that is here, okay, and basically washing our hands of it and say, okay, well, since we can't do the job of making sure that people are in their best positions, we'll just get rid of players. That's just ludicrous to me, and that's what's been happening, right? And to not be able to fully utilize, like, to have a player, and this goes into just being active. This goes into human nature a little bit, but on the competitive side, if you're a player and you go from getting the ball 15 times plus a game to 9, 8, and 7 a game, by definition, you're not involved in the offense. When you're a primary player on the team, and then all of a sudden you're not, it does make a difference because one is flow, two, hot and cold. If you're only getting one shot every 3, 4, 5 minutes, and barely that, you're really, again, with any sport, being hot matters. Being in some kind of a flow, like football, you always see it where the running back has to get hit a couple of times so his juices are flowing, right? That wide receiver got to catch that first ball and get hit, right? Or sometimes even the quarterback, he got to get hit, right? You got to be in the flow of the game, got to get these plays, you got to get this, what do they do, a script in football to get those first couple of plays going and things of that nature to get the offense in motion and stuff like that. It's the same thing in baseball. It's the same thing in soccer. It's the same thing in every sport to where you got to be involved to be able to be proficient in what you're doing. To not be means you're missing out on utilizing somebody who's probably really good, but you can't tell. Like, I always use Siakam as an example. Siakam is getting almost 20 shots a night. He better score 30 points a game, getting 18, 19 shots a game, doggone it. You see what I'm saying? Now, will he be able to be as productive if he goes from 19 shots a game to 7? I don't think so. You see what I'm saying? Because he's not getting the ball by definition. Again, that Houston game was so infuriating, if y'all remember it. We were up by 15 points, and we got beat by a team that hadn't even won 6 games yet because people were getting looked off, okay? I was like, we need to make a coaching change now. We didn't. You know what happened after that? We lost 2 more games in a row when we had a 15-point lead or more. And the coach said, it's not a problem that we're losing leads. He said that out loud in public. He said a whole bunch of stuff people don't want to pay attention, but my goodness. How can you not be concerned about that? Because the whole point of having players on your team is everybody needs to get fed, as John mentioned earlier, and as I've mentioned plenty of times. Again, it makes a difference. Let's get the ball in the post. Run some offense. Run some screens. Run some motion. Because guess what? If you give me the ball in the post, I'm getting you the ball. I'm either getting you a layup. Like, come, you cut right here. I'm putting the ball right there in your chest, and you're going to lay it up because I'm going to move your man out the way. Or if you move around that three-point line and you cut proper, I'm getting you a wide-open three in the corner. I'm getting you a wide-open three at the top of the key. If you move the ball to me, I'm gonna be the offense because I don't need to score. I'm trying to get 8 assists a night myself. And that's where we need to be. If we had a motion offense and we had that mentality, we would be such a dominating team. And we saw glimpses. Once we had the coaching change and everything, we saw glimpses of that, but it was still a matter of we got to weed all this other stuff out of people's minds, okay? Because, again, for the longest time, we had nothing, okay? We just out there. Y'all remember, if you've seen any of my shows or seen any of my posts, we just out there, and that's just not enough. When we're in the Eastern Conference, and we could rule the Eastern Conference, y'all, we really can. We should have beat the Boston Celtics. We should have been up 3-2 or whatever it was instead of being down 3-2. We could have beat Boston straight up. You see what I'm saying? We got to do it.
Yeah, and let me say this one thing. When we would watch the Hawks, when I would watch the Hawks, it got to the point, whether it was Quinn or whether it was Nate McMillan, if the Hawks move, we win. If they're stagnant, we lose. It was just that simple. And the crazy part about it was that, okay, you won this game going away, looking beautiful. Looking like a real professional team out there because your shots were falling. Everybody was involved because you were moving. But you would come right back the very next night and you go stand over in the corner. Leave Trey Young out there to dry because nobody's coming to set a pick.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
It was just ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. And the crazy part about it, okay, you play a Boston or a Milwaukee, beat them. Come back that Houston game you were talking about. Just like that Houston game you were talking about.
Beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee, played them straight up and just beat them, came back on the ESPN night against Boston and I was at that game. I'm still mad about that game because I spent money on it, of course, obviously. Drove 2 hours to go to that game to have to fight Boston Celtics fans all doggone night because they're talking all this smack. I couldn't really say nothing because we're getting beat by 30. We're not even competing right a day after we beat Milwaukee. It's stuff like that. And it's just like, how do you revert so drastically in 24 hours? It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the most infuriating thing. That was the most infuriating thing. And see that Houston game that you were talking about, you know, we were up 15. Then we decided we want to start hitting folk on top of the head and playing around with them and acting like the game is won and you still got a whole half to play. Oh, man. And see, that's why I couldn't go to the games this year, Chris, because I'd have went down there on the floor. I went on the floor.
It was a few times. I was just like, again, I knew we were going to lose that Houston game the moment Trey looked off John the second time and waved him out. And then he went one-on-one, missed a shot, whatever. They came back and scored or whatever. And then, of course, like you said, Murray patted that dude on the head. I was like, you do that, we better win this game. This team has...
Yeah.
Four wins the whole freaking season. We better not lose this game because this is a disaster. And you see how the rest of the season turned out. That game was so pivotal to the rest of the season as far as I'm concerned. And there was just no recourse of any kind. And again, from the coaching side of the thing, it just didn't look like it was that big of a deal. And I'm like, well, what are we even really doing? We just wasted another season for no reason. We can't have no more wasted seasons. We just can't.
Nope, can't keep wasting these seasons because thing is, okay, people pointed out that we had, I think we led the league in attendance this year, didn't we?
We sure did. I think we were one or two.
Yeah. Now, for the basketball purists such as us who, you know, take a look and, you know, look at how you won as well as how you lost. When you're 41-41 and you're selling out every night and you're number one in attendance, you have to look at why are the people coming. It's fashionable, okay? It's fashionable. You're having a lot of concerts down there. You're drawing some people down there for after-game activities instead of the game. And for me, that's really the ultimate insult to me because, all right, you bought the ticket not to watch your team play, but to see Ludacris, to see Big Boy, to see these people or those people. Now, if I wanted to see these people, I would go pay for the concert. I'm coming to Phillips Arena, State Farm Arena, whatever the heck it is. I'm coming to see my basketball team play, all right? That's my reason for coming down there, okay? Now, the luster is going to come off of the diamond when People get tired of losing or dealing with folk down there just like you had to deal with them, okay? Because the people that are coming and doing the concerts, they're going to stop wanting to come down there for a losing team. Okay,
yeah.
Now, yeah, they'll make some money. But, that, you know, the goose that laid the golden egg, he's going to stop laying golden eggs unless the team starts winning. You know, if you win, we will come.
Well, now, I will say half and half because, well, I was a season ticket holder this year, and it's hard for me to get to a lot of the games just because I'm 2 hours away and all that, and I'm working and everything like that. But I'm not one so much to where, you know, because, again, I've always said this. When you pick a team, you know that team may never win a championship. You know that from the get-go, you know. And definitely winning is very important, but you got to want to support that team until they do start winning. But when they're just oblong, ain't doing nothing to do anything to actually win, that's like the Wizards. When's the last time the Wizards did anything right, okay? That team is a shambles all the time. The Hawks have been in the playoffs the last 3 years. At least they can say that. And then before that, the last 10 years in a row. Hawks have been a competitive team for a long time in their franchise. Not win a championship competitive, but they're in there. Again, you can't win a championship unless you're in the playoffs, right? But definitely if the Hawks were winning more on the side of advancing and things of that nature, again, we got a taste of it 2 years ago. It should have been continuous, but again, we were kind of pulled back a little bit, you know, and I think now this is that opportunity, that window of we can do a lot over the next decade or so. We keep a particular core together. We see how that rolls. But we have enough to be competitive because we've seen it. We've seen it literally over the last 2 years, right, of what this team can do in bunches. And it's just a matter of the consistency of it. And if we're only a couple of players away, fine. If we're the coaching staff away, fine. If it's the owner paying the luxury doggone tax, fine, right? Because again, it's time for Atlanta to have a ring. It's time. Trading threw it out there. It's time to win. It's, again, I said it. I said it the night that Denver won. This could be us within a year, easily. This could be us next year, easily. It really can. The East is not. Think about it. You're scared of Cleveland? Scared of the Nets? You scared of Boston? No, we're not scared of none of these. These teams aren't dominating or anything like that. We could have beat all these teams. We could have, and we just didn't. So that's a difference right there. And I think, again, with changing a lot of these things over, I think we're going to have that mentality. I think we're going to have the capability. We're going to have the teaching down. And then, of course, the rest of it is on the players. Will they turn that corner and key? You know, if we do end up bringing all of them back, will that, you know, again, this is going to be a personal responsibility thing at that point. You know, but like I said, we just don't know just yet. Again, we won't really know until next week as things kind of get into, you know, that, what is it, July 1st, I guess it is, date, and then we'll see the ball start dropping. We've already seen a couple of, you know, trades already, obviously, right? So we'll just have to kind of see as the rest of this week goes and going into the week after, will the Hawks make any, you know, substantial moves? Will it be just a particular type of a tweak move or whatnot? But they can't go another season and let Trae Young be on top of the league in assist and scoring, and we don't do nothing with that and continue to hold back other players because you just don't want to play young guys, former coach,
yeah.
Right, and stuff like that. So anything else, John, you want to mention? Before you say anything, John, give me a second. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I appreciate it. Again, we haven't been on the air in a while. I wasn't going to actually do this particular show. Again, if you saw my intro, you know, I lost my aunt last Friday. She passed away very suddenly. It was this tragic circumstances. And then, again, my grandmother, that was her daughter that she lost. That was the third child that she's lost in 10 years. She's 90 years old now. One of those other children was my dad, okay, cancer. So it's been really tough just all the way around. And then, again, I don't know what's going on with my sore throat, but it's just getting worse. And then, like I said, my co-host Jordan wasn't able to make it. He was able to message in on the messenger, so shout out to Jordan for that. And, again, thanks for John for calling in and helping out a little bit. get me through this show. But thanks for everybody watching. Just wanted to throw that out there. Make sure you go impworldwideradio.com. Click on it. Make sure you subscribe. All those who watch, if you liked anything that you've heard, subscribe. Watch the other shows. I mean, we've had great shows over the years, 4+ years now. Dominique Wilkins been on the show. John Collins been on the show. Bob Rathman, Steve Holman, Jerome Durenovich, Rashad Phillips, who has his book out right now, talking about all the new ageness of, as far as position players in the NBA and things of that nature. He's been on the show. We've had a lot. We've had Angel McCautry on the show from WNBA Atlanta Dream. We've had Nikki Collin, who had won Coach of the Year with the Atlanta Dream. We had the team president of the Atlanta Dream on, Teresa Winsell on the show. So we've had a whole bunch of people on the show over the years. We're going to continue to get more people. Like I said, lately it's just been tough scheduling, things of that nature. So just wanted to say a quick shout out in case I forgot. Thank you all for, you know, checking us out around the ATL for all this time and everything. But John, back to you again, sir. Last words before we get off the show for tonight.
Well, I wanted to be sure to, again, express my heartfelt condolences at the losses that you suffered and, you know, believe in the resurrection hope. They will be back. And, you know, for all of those who suffer, and which is, you know, just about all of us, amen, just keep that resurrection hope in mind and be there to meet them when they come back. As far as the Hawks are concerned, hey, man, we will see. That's all I got.
I can say me and Jordan are talking about, you know, season tickets, you know, and everything. I'm gonna see if I can pull it off again for a second row ticket year in a row. Like I say, this is tough, you know. Some of those games, I was like, I really don't want to watch that team. And this year, I don't think they're gonna let me pick the teams. Because last year, they let me pick what teams I wanted to see. Because I was like, I'm not paying a 10 ticket package to watch the Wizards. I'm not going to do it, okay? So I need to pick the good games if I'm going to come up all the way up, you know, 2 hours there, 2 hours back, and, you know, we got to make that happen. So we're going to see, but like I said, I've been a fan forever. I feel the team is going to win a championship. I'm not going to just give up on the team and think they're not going to win. That's what a lot of people have done, unfortunately. And like I said, some of you are not going to feel the same way the rest of us will feel on Peachtree Street when that parade is happening because you gave up after the 60-win team lost, after Dominique got traded, right? After Al Horford ain't here no more. you see what I'm saying? So think about that. Yeah. Think about that, and, you know, you got to look at it all the way through. You know, my Hawks may not ever win a championship, but I'm going to be there when they do, for sure, right? So that being said, again, one more time, y'all, make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel, IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube. Visit the IMTNWorldwideRadio.com website. It's brand new. You can also listen to past episodes. If you're not able to, like, watch the stream, you can listen on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Law Talk Radio, Alexa, Odyssey, okay? You can follow on Twitter, IMTM Radio. Also, my personal Twitter, Intellect ATL, as you can see there, my co-host, Jordan23 ATL. That being said, guys, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here, and y'all have a good one. John, thanks again for calling in, man. Appreciate the help tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all take care until next time, okay? Peace. The best of 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 the best of